Ed, welcome to the Grace Hour. It's Monday, August 15th. We're moving through the summer. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. We're entering into a discussion this week on these very important messages from the early church movement. And these messages that we read are found in the books, in the book, that is, of Acts, written by Luke. And it's the Acts of the Apostles in some Bibles, but maybe more accurately, it could be the initial Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about this today, in particular, Acts chapter 2, and the message that Peter delivers during this Feast of Pentecost. And this is a moment in the history of Christianity that is supremely significant. And I'll make some points here about this first message, this message that Peter will deliver to a crowd after the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit blows through this upper room in Jerusalem. If you want to comment on what's shared today, we have a couple of phone numbers for you to use. The first number, a toll-free number in North America. That number is 1-800-338-7060. And you can call that and we'll pay for the call. It's a toll-free number, as I said, that 800 area code. It means that it's free for you. Locally here in Baltimore, the number is 410-483-3700. That number also works for those of you who are listening outside of North America worldwide. You can punch in the country code for the U.S. and then 410-483-3700. Tell our operators if you are calling from somewhere hither and yon. We want to get you right on the air and not have you holding, burning up your cell phone minutes. So 410-483-3700. You're watching on Facebook Live or you're watching on YouTube or you're watching at gracehour.org. You have places there where you can type in a comment or two, and we'll read those comments and comment on them as they pertain to the subject matter here, the messages from the book of Acts. So we're talking about obedient people. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about obedient people. Let's give you a little rundown of what happens in the book of Acts. Now, this is Luke. Okay, I want you to understand something about the person of Luke. He's known as the great physician. He's also known as a Greek. What does it mean to be Greek? Well, it means something in Baltimore. It means something in Baltimore. We have a large Greek community here, ethnically, in Baltimore. Actually, we have an area of the city called Greektown, large concentration of people who are Greek by ethnicity. There's restaurants there. There's a number of Greek-owned diners in Baltimore. I'm just telling you the nature of things in our area. So when Luke is called a Greek, it means something different, though. It means a learned person. And so Luke is the only non-Hebrew writer in the canon of scriptures. You should know that. Luke was a traveling partner, a physician, and a man who traveled with the Apostle Paul. And he's also a very good physician. Apparently, he's also a very good journalist. He's a historian for us. And he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And that gospel has a different kind of character from Matthew and Mark, the other synoptic gospels. And you know, great difference from the Gospel of John, which came later. And Luke also wrote this book of Acts. And this is the testimony or the report of how the early church was begun. So we know that in the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus ascends, and then Jesus also gives them a word to go and wait upon God for the sending of the power of the Holy Spirit. And they do so in 10 days later, at the Feast of Pentecost, a whole crowd of Jewish people have gathered together to celebrate this feast of the first fruits of the harvest. And there's people from all around, the Jewish people, Jewish practitioners from all over the Roman Empire who have come in, and then the Holy Spirit moves and a mighty rushing wind, and these people speak with other languages. And why would they speak with other languages? This is a moment in time when Jewish followers have come to celebrate Pentecost. Think of a pilgrimage, not so much different from the pilgrimages to Mecca that are made by Muslims. These are pilgrimage made to Jerusalem. And this is these are instructions given way back in the books of Moses that there were to be three times when Jewish men were to gather celebrations. Passover was one. The Feast of Booths was another. Pentecost was another. And this came 50 days after Passover, celebration of the first fruits. It's a harvest feast. And so let's get into the point of our week of broadcast, which is the messages. Peter is going to deliver a sermon filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the first Holy Spirit-inspired sermon that we have recorded in our Bibles. That's what's happening here in Acts chapter 2. And Peter was standing with the other apostles, and he lifted his voice because people had gathered outside of the windows. Like, they're looking up and they're hearing the message of salvation in their own languages. And when there's a whole list there, you can see, of different kinds of people who listened and heard this, and they wondered. Even Cretans and Arabians, that's kind of interesting. People from all around the Roman Empire, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Pontus, Mesopotamia, all around, Medes and Elamites, Parthians, all these people were hearing this word spoken to them, and then Peter began to speak a message. And it's very significant the way that he starts, because this, I don't believe that Peter fully understood what he was preaching right here in his introduction here. He quotes the prophet Joel right here. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. He quotes Joel, and he says, "In the last days it shall be that God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." That's a big one. All flesh. And listen to this. "Sons and daughters shall prophesy," preach the gospel. "Young men shall see visions." They will be led by the Spirit. "Old men shall dream dreams." Even male and female servants, maid servants. So this will be a all-inclusive pouring out of the Spirit that's coming. All flesh, young men, old men, servants, people who own servants. And now remember, that's a class of people significant in the Roman world. And they will pour out their spirit. They shall preach, show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And here's the significant one that I'm thinking that Peter might not have realized what he's saying here, but he is being led by the Spirit. He's preaching what God is telling him. "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he introduces the next part of his speech by saying, "Men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth." And he's introducing the name that people will call upon to be saved. It's the name of Jesus. This is the power of the name of Jesus is introduced by Peter in his sermon right here. Now, that's the thing. Now, remember, in the Jewish mindset, now all of the early disciples are Jewish people by ethnicity. They are Jewish people. Now, of course, we know that Jesus had ministries to other people. The centurion, the Roman centurion, had his servant healed. The woman of Sidon, the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, she had her daughter delivered from a demon. So Jesus is already starting to expand his ministry before he goes up. But now that he's gone up, he's got disciples who've got to be filled with the Spirit. They have been filled with the Spirit. Peter, the denier, Peter, who denied and also said this. Now he's giving a message. He's giving a message. And this message concludes right here with this very important thought that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what name will be given under heaven that men might be saved? It'll be the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified will be the one. So this is important. This piece of prophecy. Now remember, unlearned man, Peter, he was not a seminary student. He listened to Jesus. His Bible college was walking and talking with Jesus, and he denied the Lord. But then in John chapter 21, he's restored, put into the ministry, and now he delivers this sermon. So that's just a starter point for you to think about. How did the gospel message begin to be preached? The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit filled the believers. The Holy Spirit fired up their hearts. It says there that they saw cloven tongues of fire upon them in that moment of filling. And then Peter began to speak the gospel. And what's the essence of the gospel? That all flesh shall hear the message of salvation, and that the message of salvation shall be something that people call upon. They are call upon the name. And if they call upon the name of the Lord, and who is the Lord? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is crucified. And Peter continues to express this message to the people who are gathered listening. They've been gathered by a great outpouring of the Spirit, and now this message is going out. So Pastor Steve Schiavelli is with me in the studio today. He has some thoughts. I know the book of Acts is a particularly...
one of my favorites.
One of your favorites. I don't want to say favorite is like, you know, we love the whole Bible, but there's parts of the Bible that stir us a little bit. All of us, we all have parts of the Bible that create like, create interest in us.
Magnetic. They're magnetic.
They're magnetic, but we are faithful to read the Bible. I know Pastor Schiavelli has a pattern of reading the Bible. I also have a pattern of reading the Bible because the whole counsel of God is important. But certain portions of the counsel of God fire us up maybe a little bit more. But God is so faithful, I think he would tell you, Pastor Schiavelli would tell you, God is so faithful that you're reading a passage maybe from something like Obadiah, and all of a sudden, wow, there's Obadiah. Something amazing I never knew about. That's a one-chapter book in the Old Testament. In the minor prophets, which are not minor at all, they're just as major as everyone else. They're just a little bit shorter, a little bit more direct. But what do you think about that, Pastor Schiavelli? You know, Peter just delivers this message, and all of a sudden, everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome if they call upon the name of the Lord.
Well, I think when you were speaking, I was thinking about this truth, and we'll certainly hit that other point. But that God chose Jerusalem for this to happen.
Yes.
You almost would want to think, wait a minute now, this is where Jesus was tried, arrested, tried, scourged, mocked, and then crucified. Like maybe you would like want to move the church and its birth to some other location, you know? But no, that's the natural thought would be to move it someplace else where there would be less pressure and less trouble and less difficulties. But no, God himself has chosen this place called Jerusalem, City of Peace, to be the place where the church would have its birth and the church would begin. And I love it. And I, you know, it's very interesting too with the life of Peter, who you explained was an unlearned and ignorant man. He was just a simple fisherman. They could just pull nets in and there would be fish in the nets, and then they would sell the fish or eat the fish or whatever they did. And he just chose this simple person. Somebody once said this, that I'm not so sure about this, but I read this one time that Paul's Greek was very simplified, but Peter's Greek was very intricate. It was very advanced. And you would have thought the exact opposite because Paul was such a learned man, an intellectual. But they said Peter's Greek was amazing. And so God chooses this man, and you can see through the book of Acts, not just in Acts chapter 2, but continuously in Acts 3 and Acts 4 and on. And Peter stood up, and Peter stood up, and Peter stood up. He was the man. He was the man. Yes, he denied the Lord with a threefold, sixfold denial, however you look at it. And yet, are we not so thankful to God that when we fail, he doesn't toss us away and say, I got somebody else for the job, you know?
Yeah.
He just says, and Peter stood up. And now Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love this because they received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I believe they were born again in the Gospel of John. But then this coming of the person of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit made such a difference. Now, let's take this maybe on a practical level as we think about this, Pastor Steve. People are born again, but what is the reason why there is so little Christian influence in many places today? They may be born again, and there may be a lot of born-again believers in America, but are they Spirit-filled? And if you're Spirit-filled, you're Word of God filled. Are they filled with the eternal purpose of God? So this was key. They were saved, but maybe they were sitting there. I think if we kind of like look at the background of it, they were in this house in Jerusalem, and I don't think they were like, you know, they said they were in fear in John 20. They were living in fear, like, you know, what's going to happen to us? We're the followers of Jesus, you know? And then here comes the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit at the Feast of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, these men were transformed. Mm-hmm. These men were now preaching and whatnot. And think of the movement that took place. 3,000 get saved, 5,000 get saved, and it just keeps growing. It's incredible. So really, when you think about this particular topic that we're looking at today, the importance of Acts chapter 2 and the message of Peter and the beginning of the church and the church age, it's incredible what can happen. Could that happen in an individual person's life? Yes, it could. Mm-hmm. How about, could that happen in a church? Maybe a church is just there. They meet once or twice a week, and they just kind of go through the motions and whatnot. But all of a sudden, something takes place. Mm-hmm. Something goes on. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to move mightily in that church and in that individual. Whatnot. I've read stories about D.L. Moody, who was saved, but he was never filled. And these two women came to him and said, Mr. Moody, what you need is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it changed his entire ministry. It changed his entire ministry. So here we see this incredible spiritual explosion take place, you know, in Jerusalem of all places, and how it's going to spread and the birth of the church. And these men of God, and, you know, they when you look at some of them from John chapter 20, then you realize, of course, now they grew to 120, and there was 120 of them in an upper room, right?
Yes.
In the book of Acts, and how God would take this small group of people and use them to bring this gospel to the whole world. And it's really incredible. So here's Peter standing up, and Peter standing up, and Peter stood up, and Peter said, and Peter this, and Peter that. Here's the man that says, Jesus who? A little girl is like nudging him. Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I don't know the man. Who is he? Jesus who? I don't know him. I don't know the man. Aren't you a Galilean? You speak like a Galilean. I don't know. He's just denying. And now something has taken place in his life, and he's transformed. And now not only is he transformed, but the birth of the church takes place, and Jerusalem is transformed.
Yeah,
and that's incredible. That's what can happen with a simple gospel. Simple gospel. I use the word simple, not in a wrong way, but it's just the simplicity, the sincerity of this message of the gospel and what can happen in a person's life, in the life of a city or a town. Well, who was the man? Was it Charles Finney? He would go to a city, somebody would get saved, and the whole city would get saved. Was that upstate New York, right?
Yeah, upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
He would come to town. He had a particular kind of pattern of prayer, and then his preaching was effective. It was, you know, it was for that certain territory. If you read some of his revival lectures, you would say, well, this sounds like very organized, and it was. He was very organized in the areas of prayer and his preaching, and he had a certain method. And, you know, you think about that area of the country and just the hardness of, you know, even at that point in time in the 1800s, you know, the hardness of the, what is it, the hardness of the religious movement up there. There was a Great Awakening. There was the American Revolution. Now there's another Great Awakening. And, you know, Charles Finney would come to town and saloons would close and things would happen. It happened in the Welsh Revival, too, at the beginning, end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. It's like, you know, God would bring the Holy Spirit in and use a person mightily and powerfully, and it would impact people. And I like you say, here's the gospel is reduced to a simple message here. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when you think about a Jewish mindset, they're thinking about, and we see this through the book of Acts, because there's this tension going on, you know, because even Peter, until he goes to Cornelius' house, he doesn't realize, like, the message of the gospel is